host, Renee Krams. On today's show, we are going to talk to Bishop Donald DeGroote about the recent lifting of the dispensation in the diocese, and we'll talk about his recent trip to the northern regions of the diocese and what he did up there. First, we're going to talk to our favorite Dr. B. How many there
How
are?
How many Dr. B's do you know?
One.
One. But well, you probably know other Dr. B's.
Probably, but I don't call them that.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to Dr. B with some biblical bites with Dr. B.
Biblical bites with Dr. B.
We need a little music behind that.
Dr. B.
That was awesome.
We'll save that for the musical episode.
Please.
So, second reading at Mass today, Renee, is from Romans chapter 12. We talked a little bit about St. Paul a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And about his conversion and so on. And this is just two verses from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But there, one commentary that I consulted, not the biggest commentary in Romans I've seen before, but one commentary that I consulted, have 4 pages on Romans 12, 1.
I thought you were going to tell me it was that whole book.
No, not the whole, okay. Not the whole book.
Okay, thanks.
So this is how the reading goes. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay, so verse 2 is, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern which the will of God was good, pleasing, and perfect. I don't want to focus on verse 2. I want to focus on verse 1. But
I'm glad
because
I already have a question about that, but I'll let you go for a little bit.
Well, so just briefly, though, on verse 2, I think it's actually incredibly relevant to our time. I'm using a different translation that's stuck in my head because I love Romans 12, 2. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The thing that I want to say about that, Renee, before we focus on verse 1, is living the gospel, not being conformed to this age, but being conformed to the gospel, entails, it's more than this, but it entails, Paul tells us, he focuses on the renewal of your mind. This is an important theme for me. I'm sure it's come up. I know it's come up on Catholic Views over the years. It's probably come up even in Biblical Bites with Dr. B in these last few months. We don't check our brains at the door when we go into church. We don't lose our minds.
No.
We should renew our minds. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You cannot grow. So Bishop DeGroote's theme, which I'm sure will come out in the interview, but lifelong Catholic missionary discipleship through God's love, kind of the way he's been phrasing, or one way the ways he's been phrasing it. We cannot be missionary disciples without the renewal of our minds. It doesn't mean we all have to go off like Dr. B and become doctors in theology.
Oh, thank goodness.
Amen. but we do need to renew our minds. We have to conform our minds to what Jesus has revealed to us, which is great because it's true.
Yeah.
Like if I were asking you to conform your minds to error and falsities, thanks, but no thanks. Gratefully, thankfully, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, conformed to the truth of Jesus Christ. Right. That's all I want to say about that. Okay. Any comments or questions about it?
No, I don't think so.
But you have questions about verse 1.
Well, it sounds familiar to me.
Really?
It does.
So again, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. What about that sounds familiar to you?
Okay, the offer your bodies as a living sacrifice reminds me of a line in a Eucharistic prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Make us an everlasting offering to you.
Right.
Is that reflective of that? Yeah, Did it come from that?
That's a good question. I think that's in, I think it's Eucharistic prayer number 1. Because I know that we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
You're struck by that.
Yeah.
It probably does come from Romans chapter 12. So what I want to know, just you as the audience here, what does it mean to you?
What does what mean to me? Which one?
Either of them. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice.
Well, hey, when you do this to me, Bill?
I know.
I got nothing.
Okay. So let me take a stab at it. I would say that it means to go out and be holy. do what, this is going to sound really general, but do what Jesus asked us to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And this can be a rhetorical question, actually, or unless you have an answer, but with your body.
Yeah.
Offer your body as a living sacrifice.
Does that mean I have to go on a diet? Because
well, actually, that's a great.
A little bit.
That's a great. If you're being gluttonous,
yeah,
quit it.
Right.
If we're being unchaste, quit it. So really, if you look at the rest, so Romans chapter, this reading right here is a hinge in St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans 1 through 11 is all doctrine. And now in chapter 12, I actually inserted the reading as we have it, as we heard it at Mass, is I urge you, brothers and sisters. There's actually a therefore. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters. Well, therefore, it doesn't therefore, make sense in right. the reading, but it is because he's transitioning from all the doctrine to now Romans 12 through 15, the rest of the letter is all practical. In light of everything I've told you about what's true, live this way.
Okay.
Be transformed. Sorry. offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we are to be conformed to God, not just in mind, but in body as well. Okay. And he talks about your spiritual worship. So spiritual there is actually more like rational worship.
Okay.
So if I said, okay, worship rationally, what is that? How does that feel to you? What does that connote to you?
Well, I would say to actually know what you're doing
right
behind it.
So with all of your being, not just your body, mm-hmm. not just your mind, but rational worship, it should be something that you do thoughtfully.
Right.
Right. But with all of, we're rational creatures, body and soul. We should offer everything that we do to God as a spiritual sacrifice, as rational worship. This is one of the key point really in the light of everything that I've said. The key thing that I want to emphasize is everything we do as baptized disciples, missionary disciples of Jesus Christ, except for the sins, everything else that we do, we can offer to God as a sacrifice. The Catechism spells this out beautifully. My leisure time, spending time with my family, playing board games, or going for walks, is a sacrifice which pleases the Lord. Hmm. Offer what you do to God as a spiritual sacrifice. That's what we're called to do. In light of the doctrine, the truth, mm-hmm. do this. And this is offer everything that you do in body and spirit to God as a spiritual sacrifice. And he will bless and reward you because of doing that.
I love it, Dr. B. And Billy got away with nothing again. All right, here we go. Joining me on the show today is Bishop Donald DeGrood. We're going to talk about a couple topics, including the recent lifting of the dispensation for most Catholics in our diocese. Good morning, Bishop DeGrood. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Good to be with you today.
Good. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
So you recently decided to reinstate the obligation for Mass for most Catholics in the diocese. Can you talk a little bit about what led to that decision?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So clearly this has been a matter that's been in my heart and my mind for a good period of time, and I was sensing in prayer the promptings to really look at this thing as objectively as possible. And so in the past months, really since all of this started, and once we started to get some data to see what the actual number of COVID cases are, the number of hospitalizations, the number of ventilators, for example, that are used, certainly the number of deaths, really to try to help me get my head around what's the data showing us. So I have some objective data to take to prayer and ask in prayer, what is it that the Lord desires? And the reason this is so important for me as a bishop is in the beautiful teachings of our faith, we know all the way back to Old Testament times, for example, with the Ten Commandments, right? So Moses goes up the mountain, God's very clear. Here's the commandments to help the Israelites live in right relationship with God and others. And one of those commandments, of course, is to keep holy the Sabbath. So keeping holy the Sabbath, God has a very intentional plan for the Sabbath. We celebrate that as Jesus laid out for us so clearly on Sunday. And he himself, having been raised in the Jewish faith, was very, very diligent, as best we know from Scripture, certainly, of going to the synagogue and offering the prayers and sacrifices that were understood in the Old Testament time. So the point being is it was through prayer and it was through looking at the data objectively that the Lord was clearly prompting me interiorly, spiritually, to say, hold it now, certainly we need to do what we reasonably can to protect the vulnerable. So those who have pre-existing conditions that would make them vulnerable to COVID-19 to have serious side effects, if you will. So hospitalization, ventilation, and obviously death would be the furthest extreme. So we need to do what we reasonably can to protect that and to help preserve life in that sense. But we also know there's a number of people who've gotten COVID and they have either very minor or mild or maybe even modest impact. So we know that COVID does not have the same impact on everybody. So the whole point being is when we look at keeping holy the Sabbath and we look at God's plan for the Sabbath, it's to give glory and honor to Him and to gather as a community of faith, not only giving God the glory and honor, but receiving from Him what He wants to give us, His own divine life and love. And so that's why the Holy Eucharist and the Word of God, celebrating that as a community of faith, is so critically important. In fact, in order for the, if you will, legitimate dispensation from the obligation for Sunday Mass, one has to, as a catechism speaks of it, it has to have a serious reason. So it was me looking at all of this and praying on this, and the rationale of putting the dispensation in place in the beginning was because the projections, the anticipation of what COVID was going to be and the serious impact to a multitude of people, large number, if you will, and the overloading of the hospitals. So that certainly made sense to me, right? There's a very serious potential risk here, and it seemed to be, by the evidence or the data that we were being presented to, that was being presented to us about the potential of this, that's why I put the dispensation in place. I wanted people to be safe.
Right.
But now that we have data watching through these months, it was becoming clearer and clearer to me in good conscience as a bishop, I want what's best for the flock, emotionally, spiritually, in a sense, their whole well-being. So the point of changing the dispensation was to keep in place the dispensation for those who have underlying conditions that the CDC would have already have identified that would be vulnerable to serious impact. So all of those folks and all of those who tend to them. So it could be someone who's, for example, working in our hospitals and all the medical care. It could be a caregiver and they're concerned about, you know, catching it and passing it on to, you know, their loved one. So I wanted to keep all those folks safe. But then to say everybody else, just like at any other time, they have the gift, the right, if you will, the obligation to, before God, determine, do I have a serious reason for not attending Mass? Mm-hmm. And so that's where the dispensation then is lifted for all of them. So they, each person, needs to discern before God, do I have a serious reason for not being at Mass? And my encouragement for people is to look at it very objectively. To look at the data, to look at one's own circumstances in life, their condition, and then to determine with good advice from others, for example, a doctor, whoever else it's going to be helpful, pastors, for example, do I have a serious reason for not being at Mass? And if they do, they should have full freedom of conscience. But if not, then God's so very clear because He knows what's best for us. Mm-hmm. Keep holy the Sabbath. And that's why the change was made. Prayer, looking at data, and following the prompting of prayer.
Sure. So there are probably still some people out there, at least I know I've heard some comments here and there, some people who still might be a little fearful about coming back and might be struggling with discerning coming back to Mass. What would your advice be to them? What's the best way, especially as humans, we tend to maybe not be so great at discerning all the time. So what's your best advice?
Great point. You know, first of all, I think it's really good to acknowledge the reality that fear can be a very strong motivator. And there's actually essentially two types of fear. There's a good fear and there's a bad fear, or if you will, an ordinate fear, meaning it's rightly ordered to whatever the potential harm is. And then there's what's called a disordered, or if you will, inordinate fear. That type of fear is where one can be overly concerned in a way that doesn't match with reason. Mm-hmm. In other words, it looks bigger than it is, if you will. Sometimes we use the expression like making a mountain out of a molehill.
Right.
Right. So first of all, to acknowledge that a healthy fear around COVID is a good thing.
Right.
Right. So we are very prudent, especially tending to the vulnerable. And what do we need to do to try to protect and care for them? So CDC, for example, and others would advocate, you know, good hygiene, you know, hand sanitizing, social distancing, some of those sorts of things that can be very helpful. So we should have a reasonable fear, if you will, towards COVID. The challenge is that sometimes things look bigger than they are. Mm-hmm. And the challenge we have as human beings is we can't see all or necessarily always know what the reality is. And certainly in today's world with social media, there's, you know, lots of different perspectives on these things, what one should or shouldn't be doing and how severe it is or isn't. And so what we as good Catholics should be is just looking at objective data so that we're reasonable and prudent in looking at the fear that we have. So we might be afraid, but our fear may not be reasonable. And so the data and prayer, actually taking it to God, helps us find our way through what we can't see ourselves. The data helps us see what the reality is. So the number of, for example, hospitalizations, ventilators used, number of deaths, our health issues, or the health issues of our loved ones. Those are all data pieces we can look at very objectively. But then the parts that we don't know, like, oh my gosh, but I'm still afraid, right? So I may not fall into any of those categories. I may not have a serious reason to be overly fearful, or if you will, inordinately fearful. What I'm inviting people to do is that's all the more reason to run to God, mm-hmm. right? So whether it's attending Sunday Mass to receive the Word of God, His healing power that comes through the Holy Eucharist, we know from Scripture, God's so very clear that love casts out all fear. So we know Jesus, even in the Scriptures, how many times does He say, do not be afraid, mm-hmm. even to His disciples, even after His resurrection. So they've seen all these miracles, all these extraordinary things. He's crucified. They're scared to death, right? Right. So they're hiding. And the Holy Spirit comes to them, and suddenly that inordinate fear became rightly ordered, and they became confident because they had a spiritual power that enabled them to rise above the limits of their humanity. That's what divine love does. And so, for example, daily prayer, daily relating our fears to God, opening them up to Him, receiving the gift of hope and love and faith actually help us realize, okay, I have data that helps me on the natural level, but I need a supernatural level that helps me to see what I cannot see. And that's the part that helps us then walk confidently in God, even if there's hardship and even if we get sick and there's difficulties that come. God is with us. God's got this one. God is greater than the COVID virus. I mean, let's face it. He created the world. He continues to give us grace and blessings each day. He's all powerful. So the key is, how can we be attentive to tapping into the all-powerful God in our prayer, relating our fears to Him, receiving what He wants to give us, the beautiful gift of divine love? Then we act in accord with that. We have, if you will, what we need to rise above the inordinate fears of our life.
Yeah, that's great advice. That would be really helpful, I hope. I assume you will be kind of keeping an eye on the data as time progresses as well, coming from the state health departments and so on, to see how things come along.
Yes. In fact, I've already, I've had somebody that's been, a few people that have been helping me monitor that and getting just exactly what you're saying. I'm looking for data, mm-hmm. right? Give me objective data. Looking to the, for example, our in South Dakota, our health department, right? What are the statistics on hospitalizations and respirator use and deaths and all that kind of stuff? So I have been monitoring that. I've instructed that I want that to continue to happen because, you know, this COVID thing could change and the nature of it could change, where maybe it is become much more significantly impactful like what was initially anticipated. If that were the case, I may have to put the dispensation back in place.
Right.
But I want data to help me make a prudential decision, and I want it to be a godly decision. That's why the key for me in all of this has been pray, discern well by looking at objective data that we can get our hands on, and then follow the promptings of grace with that data. And that's what I chose to do, and I will continue to. That's my desire, my hope, and my plan moving forward as well. So any adjustments that need to happen Moving forward, I hope to just continue to let that spirit lead me with good, concrete data.
Right. Good. How was the first weekend? Where did you see numbers up? Did you get some feedback from priests? Anything?
Yeah, good question. Know? I had some priests reach out to me and say, gosh, you know, we've seen a nice uptick in our numbers. I've had, I think, a couple say, you know, just it's been steadily increasing over time, little by little by little. You know, it was wonderful. I ran into one young family and they were saying, oh, it's so good to be back more kind of like to normal.
Yes.
So I see some very positive things. That's not to say that there aren't difficulties and, you know, the apprehensions and overcoming some of the fears and whatever else. And I think it's going to be one of these things that we just got to trust God's providence. We need to keep inviting people to look at it very objectively, to turn to God in prayer. And so I think what we're going to see is that there's, I suspect if I were to ask every single pastor, they're going to have some level of variance, right?
Sure.
As to the response of people and how the integration's going, how comfortable people feel. So I suspect, and you know, you could use an example by the areas they live in. So if there's more cases of COVID in a particular area, the sensitivity might be greater, and understandably so. So I think we're going to find a bit of a variance. But I've been watching at the cathedral years. I often celebrate the Saturday night mass, and I know when first put it back, mass, the option for mass for people to come back, even though the dispensation was still in place, around mid-May, I seen just steadily little increases, little by little by little by little. So it seems to me that even as we were, you know, as I was monitoring this and testing it a bit, if you will, seeing the people themselves come back even before the dispensation was lifted. So I'm anticipating that there will be a continual growth, and I've heard some, in some places, some really positive feedback that, wow, we've seen some nice increase in numbers.
Good, good. It's good to see people coming back.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I miss them.
Yes, no kidding. If you've just joined us, we are talking to Bishop Donald DeGroot today. So I want to shift gears just a little bit, Bishop, and talk a few minutes about, you recently traveled up to the northern areas of the diocese to visit some of the priests up there and kind of check it all out. Why did you make that trip?
Yeah, great question. You know, it was on my heart, and others had advised me when I first came to be really attentive to the priests. You know, in a diocese where some of these areas are more remote, the priests don't always have an opportunity for even, for example, living together, praying together, socializing together. So it can be a pretty isolating experience as a celibate, as a priest, and with the demands of their parish, and certainly in today's world where there's many duties and responsibilities and challenges because of the world we live in. But what was my point is, what was really on my heart was, well, first of all, I've been chomping at the bit to meet people. I want to get out. I'm a farm boy, so I love the country. But I was very intentional about trying to get all the priests and actually clergy as well, but particularly the priests in that furthest northern part of our region. So across the whole northern part. So kind of, if you will, from the east to the west in the northern part of the diocese. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I had a holy hour for the clergy. That in two of the different deaneries, so that people could gather, we could be together and pray for the priests and that kind of thing. So I was really principally focused on the priests because I think really starting there is a place to start.
Right.
And I wanted to be conscious of not, you know, just trying to make it available to get to every parish because I can't reasonably do that. But I really wanted to check in, see how the priests are doing. My goal up there and my principal question to them was principally, especially if I'd have the ones I was able to have one-on-one conversations with, how are you doing? You know, how's the healthy, happy, and holiness in your own life going? So I learned a lot. I learned so much about, you know, some of the joys and the challenges of being in you know, more remote parts of our diocese. Mm-hmm. But also, I must say, just impressed by, you know, these priests were giving themselves in areas where they're not as available to bigger city or more priests or people, those kinds of things. So it was very instructive, very helpful for me, and it was a beautiful chance for me as a spiritual father to reach out to the priest spiritually.
Good. What do you think of that northern part of South Dakota?
Oh, I love it. I'm ready to move. I was teasing one of the guys. Hey, I think if I had known this, I would have just, you know, would have settled in here.
Oh, you haven't been up there in the winter yet, though.
Well, good point. But I am from Minnesota, so.
True.
But
the wind comes through South Dakota a little differently than it does in Minnesota.
I continue to be told that, and I have yet to discover it.
Oh, you will. It will be an experience.
Indeed.
Do you plan on visiting any other areas of the diocese soon?
Yeah, so the great question. So my goal is eventually to work more and more throughout various parts of the diocese. Obviously, as I mentioned, you know, I'm limited. I can't get to every place right away. But my hope is starting to develop a plan for the upcoming year, looking at calendaring, for example, and how I can do more regional visits. And we're very much in the early stage of that. Mm-hmm. I do have another deanery that I'm going to try to be hitting some of the folks within that section here coming up relatively soon. I don't remember the exact dates of it. But so the progress will continue. I won't be back to back because I also have duties here at the office and trying to focus on the other duties that are needed. And also, it's a busy time of the year for parishes and clergy, yeah. And I want to be respectful of that too.
Sure, sure. I'm sure they look forward to you coming up there. And are there some priests who maybe haven't met you yet?
Oh, I believe there are some priests that I haven't met yet, yes, and certainly deacons as well, and obviously a lot of lay people.
Yes.
I've met some, you know, certainly in the wonderful welcoming, and there were different representatives, but I look forward to meeting the people as well. But again, I want to be sensitive to the COVID times and not, you know, making people, I'd love to go when COVID is past,
right.
Especially getting into the parishes, but God will provide that time.
Yeah, yeah, he will. We look forward to it.
Well, I do too.
Good. Great. Well, thank you for coming in today, Bishop. We really appreciate it. And we'll have you back again. I suspect maybe every couple of months or so would be nice just to get an update, but we'll see how your schedule is looking.
All right. Well, it depends how much you pay me now.
Oh, well, know, that's I didn't all know we had to pay you. And
well,
we better strike this show right now.
Spiritual. How about spiritual repayment?
Okay.
Could you, maybe if you could just at least throw a little prayer in there.
I think we can do that.
All right.
Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Next week, my guest will be Dr. Chris Bergwald to talk about Labor Day and how our work in the world is part of our faith journey. I know I said we wouldn't have Dr. B on again for a while, but he just knows so much stuff. We have to keep bringing him back. So also keep an eye on your mailboxes this week. Your September Bishop's Bulletin should be coming soon. You'll find a great feature, which will be a surprise. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but it's a good one. We'll have some voting guidance and a great story about a new ministry at St. Michael Parish in Sioux Falls that I think you'll like a lot. I think that's it for us today. So hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.